The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos. And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is also licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Chris Bender. Chris was born in Stoughton, Massachusetts, and raised by his mother in Brockton, Massachusetts. Chris was surrounded by a loving and God-fearing environment. With a foundation built on the love of God, Chris grew up watching his family serve and operate in ministry. At the age of 7, Chris felt compelled to know Christ as his personal Savior. At the age of 13, it was revealed to Chris that his purpose was to minister through worship, leading him to where he is today, sharing the love and gospel of Christ to the world. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you doing today?
Sorontos, I'm so good, man. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. I love your story, man. Obviously, your family was musical a bit, right? They got you involved in the church and humming and singing and doing all that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. My mother's baby brother, Chris Bender, who I was named after, was a national recording artist in the R&B in the secular world, and unfortunately was murdered in 1991. So I had some pretty big shoes to fill for a very long time now.
Yeah, that sounds like it. To me, the people that I know that have been involved in the church in any way, and I myself was an altar boy and I was in the choir, I think you have an advantage over other people. What do you think?
You know what? One would call it an advantage, and others would say, I had a little bit of some leverage, but I don't think it was any of that, especially because it was a completely different genre. There was no way for me to, be able to fine-tune or kind of connect the two. So, I've kind of had to do everything that I've done from scratch.
Okay. If you could have an influence, who from your family was the biggest influence on you, think, musically?
I think my grandmother is my biggest influence. Honestly, man, I spent a lot of time with her as a kid, back and forth in church. I swear I was a pew baby. You would think I was born on the pews, the pews of the church, honestly, because I spent so much time there. However, my grandmother, I would say, is my biggest inspiration vocally. She used to be like one of the renowned lead vocalists at our church, and everyone could always count on Deaconess Bender to kind of lead us through with, you know, with a good ad lib, or, you know, with such spontaneity and ability to make up lyrics and things on the spur of the moment. It was actually quite an art to watch, and I learned a lot about how to do what I do now so significantly from her.
Is voice your main instrument? Do you play other instruments too?
Yeah, voice is my main instrument. You know, as a church kid, you kind of learn a little bit of everything. So I tell everybody, I don't play the keys, but I know how to tickle the keys just a little bit.
I love that expression, tickle the keys. That's awesome, man. That sounds like a song.
Nope. I can't play that song if it is a song, I tell you. So honestly, yeah, I learned from watching and hearing and just having a hunger for the arts. And I also play the drums, you know, at a level of proficiency. I think I could, if I was asked to play a church service today, I could last to the end. I think I could.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. Do you come up with melodies? Do you tickle the piano? You know, how do you get started?
Well, honestly, man, I want to say that, most of my inspiration for my music comes from God himself, honestly. I try, you know, when I'm in spaces where I know that, you know, it's a time for me to start preparing for a song to be given to me from God, I usually stop listening to music. It's very weird. It's almost like, you know, a bear in hibernation, you know, like they kind of isolate themselves from everything that would influence what they do. And I kind of take on that same personification in this specific aspect. I kind of shut myself down from everything that's going on around me, musically, so to speak, you know, so I'm not being influenced by anything but the voice of God, which is sometimes a little hard for others to understand. But it's really been what's cut me different than the most, honestly, throughout my years of doing this. And then what usually happens is he'll usually give me lyric or melody. And in certain parameters, he'll give me both lyric and melody at the same time, which is interesting. It helps me to understand the level of impact that the song is supposed to have, honestly.
And how do you proceed there? Do you work with other people to try to put the music to the song and the lyrics, or
usually I'll call one of my MDs or, you know, a producer to help me to musically bring it to life. But what happens for me, man, is honestly everything that is personified through the song I hear first, and so I'm a very audible person. Everything that you would hear in any of my music, I've heard prior to it being played. So it's literally like God will give me like I took a lot of time as growing up into this to learn enough about every instrumental part to be sure to be able to vocalize what I need from that when I get it, you know,
sure.
Which is very weird. It's very, very weird. Like I can be looking at the drummer and see the formation, how he's playing it, and literally hand play what I need him to do to get him on the track to be in alignment with what I heard, you know. And it's become, you know, it sometimes presented challenges because, you know, when you're working with extremely creative people, sometimes they're like, no, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, yeah, but Jesus told me, so what you gonna do about it? It's like, you want to fight me or want to fight God? Which one you want?
Yeah, that's not as weird as you think. You know, I watched the Timberland masterclass, and he was fascinating. He used vocals basically to stimulate every part of the drum beat. You know, he was doing the kick, he was doing the snare, he was doing, and it was, he'd be sitting there like, you know, like, it was fascinating. So, no, I totally get it.
Yeah, man. So it's honestly, it's been a challenge. And, you know, of course, because most of the individuals that I've worked with over the years have always been older than me because I'm so young, it's always been almost a power struggle at times, you know, to get people to understand, hey, I might be young, however, I know what I'm doing, you know. So over the years, it's become easier because, you know, I guess I've taken some of the pressure off of myself to prove. And, you know, when you're paying people to do stuff, they kind of have no choice what to do, which is
sad,
in a sense. So, you know, it's kind of become something that I've learned to work with, or I've become more adaptable to working with, and also becoming a little more less protective of my music, to understand that it's okay to put it in other people's hands to help to beautify and to enhance what you've been given. Yeah. So it's been a lot of growing and learning and stretching and challenging, but it comes with the territory, honestly, man.
Yeah, I get it. One of the things I've also noticed in people that have been influenced by the church and choirs and is harmonies. Do you particularly try to harmonize? Do you do different parts of your vocals to make harmonies, or how do you work that?
Harmony is so important to me because, you know, you just can't. It's honestly like, it's like harmony to me is like having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without the jelly. It's like, this is the part that makes it all make sense. In most aspects, especially within, you know, gospel terms and parameters, like it's the thing that makes it all make sense. And so through the years, you know, it was very challenging for me to learn harmony, because I don't really know how I've learned much of the stuff that I do know. I definitely credit God for that, and like, just, you know, divine wisdom, and, you know, being able to, you know, glean from individuals that, you know, when I started exploring YouTube and things of that nature, I started seeing and experiencing more than what was within my own environment. I had a church choir that was 7 people strong, and almost 70% of them were altos. So there wasn't much harmonizing going on there, you know?
Sure.
it was a little complex, to say the least. So I had to challenge myself, and I guess that's where a lot of my personal passion and desire for development has come from. Just my own space of like knowing, hey, there's more to this than what you're seeing currently and what you're currently exposed to, and it's your job to figure that out. And you cannot blame anyone for what you have not been willing to journey into on your own. And so that's a level of personal responsibility that I put on myself a very, very long time ago to learn and understand it. So listening to, you know, the great choirs like, you know, James Cleveland and Mandy Moss Clark's of the world, that really helped to give me a better understanding on how to do it and how to be effective in doing it, so that it translates appropriately to the congregation, to the consumer.
Yeah, I get it. Who would you want to be in a room with? Any musician, dead or alive?
That is a good question. You know, if I could be in the room, if I can be in the room with any musician, dead or alive, today, I think that I would say, I think that would be Donald Lawrence. Actually, Donald Lawrence is yet alive, but he is a phenomenal writer. He's a phenomenal vocal arranger and vocal producer, and he just has a lot of wisdom. And I think that I've admired his work for so long. And I would just love to be in the room to be able to just tell him how much of an impact he's had on my life and my career as a musician.
Do you have any personal advice you'd give to someone coming up into this world, in the genre that you're in?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. For an individual that would be coming up, man, I would give them my three simple, I call these the three golden principles of Benda. I think that, number one, you should always stay center focused with God. And, you know, there are so many different faiths and things and natures that are, you know, what one would ascribe to, but, you know, my God is Jesus, and, you know, whoever your God is, I would say that you would stay in tune and stay focused with your God. And that's what I would do. Stay in focus with God, stay in tune with God, to ensure that, you know, you are centered, that you're humbled, and that you're always at a place of humility. My second tip would be to know yourself. This industry can eat you alive. And honestly, it can turn you into something that you never wanted to be to start. And you don't want that. You want to be able to be you, and be able to be, it's all right to receive, criticism. It's all right to be matriculated and cultivated. It's okay to grow and to be mentored into someone better than who you are, but to be completely derailed would just be a travesty, not just to you, but to the consumer that you've been meant to impact. So I say stay yourself, be yourself, and know yourself always. And then number three is my last golden principle. I would say it is to do it afraid. There's a lot of things in this world There's a lot of things in this industry that will leave one to be, it would leave one to be timid about making decisions that could possibly change their lives forever. And so my last admonishment to you, my brother, my sister, is to always do it afraid. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Yeah. You never know the effects of it unless you do it.
Yeah. Do you teach at all? Do you teach music, vocals, anything?
I do a lot of consulting work with churches and music ministries and vocalists and lead vocalists and worship leaders, helping to develop their presentation and their ability to be confident in what they've been assigned to do. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like you'd be a good teacher. That's why I asked.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I try my best.
Yeah. Obviously, with the coronavirus, I'm sure the live performances have been curtailed. But tell us a little bit about, do you tour, your live performances? When was the last one?
Let's see. The last tour I was on would be last year, after the release of The Blood Song, which was my sophomore release. It did very, very well, thank God. We went on a small tour up and down the East Coast, just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through song in churches and conferences and in workshops and courses and classes all up and down the East Coast for about 2 or 3 months. So it was definitely a joy. There's something so significant to me about being able to journey into different environments and regions to learn and see how they worship, to see how they how they live, to see where they shop, to see where they eat. You know, it's always been a joy of mine. My grandparents really, they made sure that I knew that there was a bigger world outside of Boston at a very young age. And so I was always eager to get out of here. And as I was then, I am today. I always love traveling and being able to, learn about new people and meet new people and be able to impact new lives. It's always a pleasure of mine. I love it.
Okay. How do you decide if a song you've written is going to make it out into the world?
Well, that's a good question. I believe that every good song needs a confident heart behind it. There's just certain songs that I know there's certain characteristics about songs that you have to consider when you're preparing to put them out. Like, does it make sense? Is it grammatically correct? Does the grammatic errors matter? Is it sonically appropriate? Is it appealing to the ear? Or let's see, can the consumer understand the lyrics and the words that you're saying? Is it too musical? Is it not musical enough? There's so many different aspects. And I think literally having confidence in who you are and having confidence in what you do helps you to determine what song makes it. And songs are literally a depiction, in my opinion. They're a depiction of who the artist is. And so every song that I've presented represents a space in my personal life and where I was in that. And I think that, it's very important for artists also to have a small consumer group at the beginning of the process. Usually when I feel like a song is really going to be the next one, I send it. I have a small group of friends. I call them my consumer group and I send them everything like, hey, what do you think about this? And these individuals are people that have done far more than I have, that know a lot more or a little bit more than what I do. They've gotten a little closer to the goals that I have. We share similar goals, comrades in the industry. I've been able to really work with to help develop me as well as to give me strong critique. If the song is trash, tell me to get a trash bag. If it's great, tell me to get a suit ready because I'm going to the Grammys, and that's the type of, communication, and that's the type of transparency that artists need to ensure that we're not selling ourselves short. There's a lot of money that goes into what we do. And I would hate for our resources to all be spent in vain, for something that we knew wasn't probably going to be the best, but because it was just we're a creative and it was what we came up with. Usually, I had to discipline myself a long time ago to understand everything that you write is not going to be for the world. Some of that stuff is just going to be good to you and it's meant for you and you alone. And you have to be okay with that. And learning that and being able to decipher the two from each other has helped me to be able to better determine what songs are world ready and what songs are going to do well.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. All right. Tell us about this song we're going to hear in a minute. What do you want us to know about it? What was the inspiration behind it?
Oh my gosh. So this song is entitled Gladden It. It is currently available for pre-order. It just went live on Friday, the July 10th. And so I am so excited. This song has really been it's been the braille on my heart, honestly. It's like the very small, faint words that I really didn't know how else to express, but had lived, if that makes sense. These last couple of seasons of my life have been very tumultuous, if you will. I've experienced a lot of great heartache, a lot of great pain. I've had a lot of great transitions and loss, and I feel like I've suffered a lot, but I also know that I've gained a lot because this song was given to me by God. It literally speaks of the worst of times and how to see the best of times in the worst of your times. Honestly, that might be confusing for some, but to break it down, you know, to help to expound on that, there is no greater opportunity than to be glad in what you're going through than when you're in what you're going through. Because I believe that a lot of times, and not to go deep, but in a more religious space or a more spiritual space, I was always taught that there are times where God does not remove you from the situation. He just removes the ability for the situation to affect you while you're still in it. And this song literally speaks to that space where you're in a storm and you still have to be able to say, I'm going to choose to be glad. Even though I'm in one of the worst times of my life, I'm gonna put on the joy of the Lord, and I'm going to be glad because I know that this is not going to last always. Trouble don't last always. That's what they taught me as a kid. And so that's what Gladden It is all about. I'm running my mouth too much, but I love it. The song makes me laugh. It makes me cry. It makes me all of that at one time. It really is the sentiments of my heart, man.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's take a listen now, and then we'll come back and talk, okay?
Let's go.
All right. Here we go.
So many of us are going through. Your burdens get so heavy, you don't know what to do. But I've been sent on assignment to encourage you. You can't give up now, you have so much to do. Wants you to throw in the towel. Come on, let's go.
That was really interesting, Chris. What do you think was the main instrument for that?
I think the main instrument actually would be either bass or the auxiliary key. Either one of the two. I think the bass really carries the song. There was a level of, as I was giving the, I'm a very descriptive person, and I use a lot of metaphors and analogies to describe or best suit what I'm trying to convey to my, you know, my consumers, to my producers, to anybody I'm trying to convey a thought to, correct? So at the beginning, when I was walking through what I wanted the song to be, the beginning was supposed to feel like Frozen and looking at a scene of Elsa singing a very heartfelt version of Into the Unknown or Let It Go. Sure. It's supposed to really capture you. And then the bridge is supposed to take you into a very urban and millennial-like vibe where everybody's like in head bobbing, everybody bouncing is just supposed to, yeah. And then the chorus is supposed to really be like a can of Sprite. When you pop it open that first time, it's like, ah, yeah, this is really fresh. So that's literally how I described it to the guys, and that's how we created it. You know, it's supposed to really gravitate individuals to it so that they can sing it and believe it. That is the heart of why this song was put together and arranged the way that it was.
Yeah. Do you vibe off the bass, the keys when you're singing? Do you focus on an instrument, or do you just focus on the drums and the rhythm?
You know what? I focus on click tracks, which are usually like the...
like a metronome?
Yeah, the click tracks would be like a fancy metronome or stems, if you will. And the main keys, those are usually what I focus on. As a vocalist, I've learned that it's always appropriate for you to be able to hear yourself, and then not only hear yourself, but know where you sit amongst everything that you're hearing. That's what we call placement in the gospel world. Just understanding where to put stuff so that it's not too much, but it's tasteful and that it makes sense in the ears or to the ears of the consumer.
Yeah. Is there any career advice that you've received that you consider the best?
Do not be in a rush to put out music. Your time will always be your time, and time will not undo itself.
That's great advice.
That is what I've learned. I feel like sometimes, you know, as independent artists, we feel the rush because we're independent artists and, you know, our songs have expiration dates and all that good stuff. But I highly doubt that. Growing up in this a little more, I understand that everything is not only just due in time, but it's due in God's time. And honestly, if we're rushing the process, we might miss a piece of the blessing that God is trying to provide to us. So take your time, breathe a little bit, chill out. I know it's a good song, but it'll happen. But make sure that all your ducks are in a row and make sure that you're doing things appropriately. So not only the song can be well, but the people can receive the song well.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things I like to ask every guest on this show is about scams. So anything you want to warn us about, anything you've fallen for?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things out there, and I'll keep it brief because I don't want to, you know, step on any toes. But I think that overall, it is just very important for artists to always know the business and do whatever you have to do to understand the business more, because there are a lot of foxes out there. There's a lot of foxholes. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of scams, and there's a lot of people out there that say that they can provide a certain service to you that actually don't have the bandwidth to do it. So it's just really, really, really super duper important for every independent artist to understand the business, know your numbers, know your percentages, know the roles and responsibilities of individuals that you're calling in to do certain work, provide certain services for you. Just be completely knowledgeable and always be ready to grow and learn, because there'll be a lot of things that you know, and you'll still have another level of things that you haven't learned yet that you'll have to become versed in order to be even more successful in this. So definitely take your time, breathe a little bit, and don't be afraid to ask questions, because people are here to help.
Yeah, okay. Do you have a favorite 90s jam that you want to share with us?
Let's see. Well, you know, I'm a 90s baby, so... my mother, who also was a profound background vocalist back in the 80s, she, you know, spent a lot of time listening to a lot of music. And so a lot of Mary J. Blige, let's see, oh my goodness, a lot of Lauryn Hill, let's see, Ann Nesby, oh my God, I've listened to so many artists throughout the years. And my grandfather, who completely flipped my life upside down with introducing me to blues you know, the James Browns and the Cooks of the Cooks of the world, and oh my gosh, so many different greats that I've listened to. So I have a, I don't have a specific favorite from the 90s, but I am very versed in a great or a vast amount of music. So much so to the point where I really can't call one song. I just know that, you know, if I heard 10 songs back to back and I like them from the 90s, I'd be like, yeah, those are my jams.
Okay. What was your first job that you ever had?
My first job. Oh, man, you're taking it back now. Let's see. My first job was actually working for the school department, actually. So I grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts. Shout out to Brockton. And Mike Thomas, I'll never forget, he's a, I think he's like the superintendent of the school department now, but he was in charge of youth jobs for the school year and summer. And I was given the task of being a scorekeeper for the weekend games for the basketball teams. And I used to mess those scores up terribly. I think I was making like maybe $8 an hour or something like that. I was like maybe 14. So I was, you know, I was living like a rich man at the time and literally failing effortlessly every Saturday. But yeah, that was my first job. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I remember that.
That's awesome. What's the coolest place you've visited in your lifetime?
I think that the coolest place that I've visited, I would say has to be, I think I would have to say it's, yeah, I think going to Jerusalem was actually one of the most life-changing experiences I've had, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool, man. That's on my bucket list to go out there.
I admonish everyone that I know to make that a part of your life's, you know, goals to go. It just, you know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. It's super humbling. I think I cried the entire time there. It was like a 3-hour drive there and a 3-hour drive back. I think I cried for about 12 hours total because it was just, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And it really, as a Christian, it helped me to dig a little deeper in my faith and have a larger and greater and stronger understanding for why I believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right, man. Give us your contact information. Where can people buy your music, stream it?
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. So if you're looking to join this journey with me, family, my name is Chris Bender on Instagram. You can find me at I Am Chris Bender or Chris Bender Music, either one. On Facebook, you can find me at Chris Bender Music again. On Twitter, you can find me at ChrisSing22. Or if you're looking for more information on bookings and things of that nature, you can log on to IamChrisBender.com. And if you want to purchase this new song that you've fallen in love with in the last 10 minutes or so, you can find it everywhere music is sold digitally. It's available for pre-order now. And if you purchase it today, you'll be able to get the radio edit for right now. So jump on to Amazon Music and Google Play and iTunes and Apple Music and Spotify, everywhere music is found, and type in Glad In It by Chris Bender, and you'll be able to find it.
Awesome, man. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's an absolute blast, and hope to have you on again soon.
Oh, my gosh. We'll do it again, man. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So to any listeners out there, maybe artists, if you wish to be on the Songwriter Show, I invite you to just reach out and email me. I want to thank all the fans for listening tonight, and I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with the last goodbye. This is a funeral instrumental featuring guitar in A-flat major in the style of Marty Friedman. This song's going to make you feel like the heaviness of those last moments together at the wake and funeral. Cherish every second of the last goodbye. Thank you. I love you guys. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.